Okay, off top, no jokes, no funny accents. We want to go right off top and send our condolences. There was terrible news that just came through as we speak that RJ Barrett's younger brother, Nathan Tyler Barrett, just passed away. And with heavy hearts, we're saying that on the pod right now. We want to send our best to the family. We want to send the best to their entire family, and it's just a sad thing to go through. I can't even imagine. So from all of us to you and to your whole family, we give everything we got to you, best energy we can send to the family. And let's take a moment of silence just to send some good vibes, and hopefully they can heal up. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Sports Ethos Toronto Raptor Podcast. And I'm your host, Mr. L. Hoopo. And we got Mr. A-Rod, the A-R-O-D, and Max Profit, you better pay me. And the Raps just got out of Motown, and we got a lot to talk about with this one. Barry Gordy couldn't have written it any better. So let's go. What's up, boys?
Detroit basketball.
Detroit basketball. Man, what's going on, boys?
Not much. That's some Sterling. terrible news, man.
I know. It's hard to surf off of that one, isn't it?
Yeah, man. It's hard to get a good vibe going after you hear something like that, especially from a young man, you know, losing life too soon, right?
Yeah, and I don't know his age. We were talking before we hit record. I mean, they said it's his younger brother, and RJ can't be more than, 24, 25. I don't know how old he is, but that means he's super young, and that's just terrible news, man. I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's condolences to the family. You can't imagine what they're going through, but you hope that collectively maybe they read some thoughts, some prayers, you know, people reaching out to them, and hopefully it supports them in a difficult time, because you don't know how it feels till it happens to you. But hopefully whatever we can do, sending out some good messages to these people. So
absolutely shitty. Yes, to the Barrett family and to the whole Raptor family, we send our best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like I said, the Raptors were in, you know, and to add to that, I mean, and we've said it before, you know, when something negative happens, I remember back in the day for me, you know, a breakup with a girl or whatever, things just happen. You know, even when my opa on my Dutch side, when he passed away, the best place that I could go to clear my head was the basketball court. And that was always that spot for me. Whenever I was dealing with something real major or just something small, I could go to the basketball court and go on my own or go meet up with some guys, just shoot around or whatever, go by myself even at night and just shoot around. And you know, that was my best therapy. So, I mean, RJ, I'm sure you're going to be away from the team for a while, but you never know. Maybe just get back on that court. Might be good for your mind and your soul. But hey, you know, that's why we're doing a basketball podcast. It helps outside of the court as well. So that's why we love basketball. So again, send my best to RJ and the family. But speaking of which, the Raptors were in, you know, we're in Detroit, like you said, Detroit basketball, and in Motown, and the Raptors lost that one, 113-104. It was a close one. So I want to hear your one word, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many words. Hit me, A-Rod. What do you got?
Expected. It felt the exact same thing. You were like, gonna say that. It felt like the exact same thing that was going to happen. You know, when Detroit was on that shit streak for a while, right? Yeah. You just knew that the Raptors were going to be that team to break it. Mm-hmm. And then you figure they're going to lose again, especially with the injuries. And I think we only had RJ in that game, right, as a starter. Oh, no, sorry.
He wasn't playing.
Sorry. Yeah, it wasn't Quickly.
Quickly, yeah.
Only had Quickly. We had Grady Dick, Bruce Brown, Bodgy, and Kelly Olynyk, right? The rest of the guys, it's like a fucking circus over here. You don't even know who's playing.
Ringling,
right?
Brothers, man.
Yeah. So kind of expected it, man. You just kind of expected it.
Yeah. What about you, Max?
The one word I would say was culture. I was looking at both teams, and I was looking at all these young, dumb, athletic players with potential. Just lots of the McDaniels cat looked real impressive.
I have to completely disagree, but yeah, go. I'm just kidding.
I liked Porter. Yeah. Porter was he off the team and got back on the team? Is that what
he's
happened?
He's on a 10 day, so two-way. Sorry, a two-way. So he only gets a certain amount of games. We'd have to actually waive somebody to have him play the rest of the year. But yeah, I agree with you. Sorry, keep going. Yeah.
And so I was thinking culture, like if you had on one of those teams, if you brought in like PJ Tucker and Patrick Beverly, obviously you wouldn't be able to get your hands on someone like Draymond Green or someone like Dylan Brooks, but the culture guys on teams with a bunch of young athletic dudes, I think that's a good mix right there.
That's what you need.
If you can have the young gunners who just can go all day and then have the OGs that can give them some direction and some hair on their chest, whoa. I think that mix can work.
Give them a swat across the back of the head when they need it. Yep.
Both of those teams do not have the culture guy. Holy, they were dizzy that whole game, running around back and forth, running into each other. It was hilarious.
Yeah, when Evan Fournier is your culture guy. Yeah. All right. Well, culture and expected. I'm gonna say a highlight of the night was Windmill. From I had to just look it up. Ramsey ended the game, man. I haven't seen a Windmill like that in years, man.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
That came out of nowhere. Like that was explosive.
Yes. That was.
He even looked back, stopped, little stutter step, and whap.
Toronto. If you're listening, please, we need to campaign to get this dude into the dunk competition if he is around. I mean, shoot, they got G League dudes in the dunk competition, so who cares if he's not
that's
around?
That's what I'm saying, man. You could see it. You could see it. Like, I just put on my glasses right now as I say that because that was nasty.
Get the Scotty Barnes crew, man, to boost him up, man, because they've been doing some dirt online.
Yeah. Dern's a monster, man. Oh, my gosh. He had, 24 rebounds?
Oh, Dern yesterday.
You know what's funny? Good. I was at the barbershop you speak about. I was at the barber today. They're all young Filipinos. It's the whole shop's Filipinos right at Girard.
Filipinos love basketball.
Broadview. Love basketball. Anyways, it was talking about Scotty Barnes, right? And he's like 21, 22-year-old kid. And he's like, man, do you like Scotty Barnes? I'm like, I love Scotty. He's like, he is this generation. He represents the young generation. I'm like, he does. And that's amazing to hear the young generation say that.
Coach was people were laughing at Coach when he said he's the future face of the league, but there's the youngin giving you proof right there.
Right there. Out of nowhere. He said that. Yeah. He said he represents us.
That is a wild thing to say though, man, that he's the face of the league.
Hey, the youngin said it. It's not our turn, you know.
I like the guy. I like the guy a lot, man. I think he's got a very high upside. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
But face of the league is a big statement, man. Because when certain guys come in the league, you know right away they're gonna be that guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when he came in the league, he's not that guy yet. He could be a very good player, but
that's true. But that guy. And American basketball doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. We don't get that guy. And so I think what the youngin was so excited about Barnes was he's from here. He's a Florida guy.
Yep.
You know, it's like he's relatable. He's young and goofy.
But and he's positive. I was just going to say he's positive.
Yeah, that goofy part of him. He's not. He's happy-go-lucky, you know? He doesn't have that black cloud flap hanging over his head.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. He's definitely somebody that you'd want to be around if you're on a team, right?
Well, they were talking about they watch his clips of him going on social media and stuff I would never do, right? I'm 43 years old. I'm a grown man. I don't need to be looking that up. But he's very relatable and positive. It's that those two things. That's what Masai was saying. It's very hard to find guys like that who have the talent on top of it. Right.
Yeah, picking your number one draft pick has become a little political now. You need someone that can represent your team well and you can market well and can play ball and help your team. Like there's other things involved with it now, you know?
Yeah, man. So there we go. Let's talk about any notes in this game that you noticed, some stuff that stuck out to you, some positives, negatives. What do you got? A-Rod, hit me.
Durin's offensive game, man.
Man.
He's been playing really well on the offensive side. Everybody knew about the rebounds, but, you know, he's kind of the he came into that team basically as a younger, more raw kind of Ben Wallace-esque, right? Not really known for his offensive capabilities, just known more for that defensive upside, the big body, like the big frame, rebounding. Yeah. But then, man, this guy just came up and, fuck, what did he do, 20 last 25, night?
25 and 25 almost?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like, the other games, he's been doing double-doubles regularly.
Yeah.
With some high point totals in the teens. So, you know, it's interesting to see that that Detroit might have a, you know, a good, talented young big on their hands, right?
I remember draft day, I was texting you. I'm like, I want that Duren guy. I want that Duren guy from Memphis, man. Because you could just tell he was just, there was something different about him, that tough guy at Detroit. Detroit always ends up getting these guys, man.
I don't know if you remember this, but Duren in the tourney faced off against Gonzaga and Chet, and he absolutely bodied Chet.
I bet he did.
Like, he made Chet look like a bitch in that game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of funny when everybody's on the Chet Rookie of the Year train, right? And then you got two guys who are like, one has completely outplayed him in a similar setting in Duren. Yeah, yeah. And then Wemby's like on another stratosphere, man.
He's different.
I don't know how anybody could give Chet Rookie of the Year. That shit is ridiculous to me. You're watching a generational player right now. Like, you have to be psychotic to be like, oh, Chet's the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. I think he goes beyond generational too. I think there's another new step. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's gonna be in that bucket. Yeah.
I don't think anybody has said Chet's Rookie of the Year material for at least 2 months. Early in the year when Wemby was still a little shaky and Chet was much more steady Eddie, people were saying that, you know, Chet's nice, but when it comes to like one-on-one matchups, like, okay, here's a player he's going up against, he always kind of comes out on the bottom end. He's not very confrontational. Like,
he's not got that dog in him, man.
No, yeah, like, he's nice, but when it's time for a big matchup, he always kind of loses out.
And I love Wemby.
He's still sneaky nice, though. He's sneaky nice.
He is, and I love Wemby's competitive attitude. He goes, that's what I'm addicted to, is winning. I'm addicted to winning.
Well, he got, look at the coach he got. I mean, the coach is just giving him all the dog that he needs to have to survive in the NBA. Like, Popovich is giving this kid all the dog he needs, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, man, are you going to give him some teammates? Like, what are y'all doing, man?
Hopefully soon, right? To go back to that Raps game, I thought a couple of things I liked. It was Kelly Olynyk's passing, man. Kelly,
it looked pretty good. Looked pretty
he's
good.
Trying.
He, looked pretty good. He ain't Joker, but hey, it looked pretty good.
He's the Scarborough Joker. Scarborough Joker. Jokes.
Dollarama jokes.
The Dollarama Joker. Is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah.
Dollarama Joker. I see him pushing it around. These young guys are quick, and he was catching them, you know?
I was just going to say, it's so funny you say Dollarama. They opened up a new Dollarama near, where, I don't know, I saw it today. Anyways.
Bro, they're the size of Walmarts, bro. When did the Dollarama become the size of Walmart, bro?
They attract, there's like Dollarama, you know how there's Gerrard Square people?
Yeah.
There's Dollarama people. Like, hang out. there's like this populace that's just Dollarama people. Like, they wait until it opens, they're outside, they're just ready to go for the dollar stuff. It's crazy. Anyways, Dollarama people. All right, well, if you have any other notes from this game, let me know. But that was a tough one to take a loss, but whatever, I'm not mad.
The tank keeps rolling.
Yeah, it does. And speaking of the tank keeps rolling, man, so my buddy I told you about, who just got back from the war. So he got back to the city. We went and met up for coffee, had a chat. It was nice, right? So I was like, he was telling me some crazy stories about this and that. I'm like, okay, well, that's a lot. I'm watching a war documentary as we speak. And he tells me, so I got home with the old lady and things weren't working too right because he got shot in the knee, right? I was like, I threw it on the pod asking, but he's like, you know where he... I went to Labas looking for some oil. I go, oil? What do you mean oil? He goes, Ben, lubricant. I'm like, lubricant? My lady, I think she was cheating on me while I was overseas. I'm like, she needs lubricant. I don't know what's going on. Like, where can I find some lubricant to help with the situation since I came back from the war? I said, I got this. Let me bring it to the boys and ask them. You boys know of anywhere that maybe my boy, after coming back from the war, getting shot in the leg, could help him out with some lubrication issues?
Hey, I know a spot, man. Where? Not a personal, you know.
Use yeah, yeah. But somewhere that might be able to help him out.
It's Max. You know the spot I'm talking about. Oh, it's probably about supplements. I was gonna say you gotta suggest a notebook to your boy, man. Get her loyal, man. Get her loyal, man. Build a house and keep her there, man.
Yeah, you throw in the notebook. Yeah. God damn, yeah.
Get sparks in her, man.
But put Memoirs of a Geisha on. See where that heads. See where that goes.
Anyways. Raiden today. He's probably rubbing on that bullet wound right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's probably got a lubrication on the bullet wound. Anyways, hopefully that gets fixed up for you, my man. All right, so as you know, that means this is another edition of This or
That.
Brought to you by Popeye's Supplements. All right, so we're staying in Motown. We're staying in the D. We're staying in downtown Detroit. And by the way, shout out to Detroit. I love Detroit. What an artistic, artsy city. Anybody that disrespects Detroit hasn't actually stepped foot in Detroit because Detroit's one cool-ass city, so go fuck yourself. I salute Detroit. I like Detroit.
Love Detroit.
So let's stay in Motown.
Love Detroit.
Yeah, you have an uncle from Detroit.
My favorite uncle is from Detroit.
It's a cool ass city, man. There's a vibe.
Oh, yeah, man. Cool as dirt. He wears gators and
three,
four cars. And he was laughing at me about being broke when I was 11 years old. And, Detroit That's is just. Good. Yeah. Detroit
True is players, best, man. Detroit
is the best. Good food out there.
Yeah. And shout out to the traffickers on jet skis going across the river. Just getting their work real quick across. Just zing, zing, zing. Got their ski do.
That's a hard way to make that money, baby. Go get it.
They got to go get it. It's a hop, skip, and a jump, man. All you need is one jet ski and some hope. All right, cool. So we're going to stay here in Motown, like I said. So the first thing we're going to do is I like this one. Who would you draft? I'm going to take two absolute goddamn Detroit Piston legends right here. Who do you got? Tuss? Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, God.
If you're going to draft, yeah, man. Isaiah Thomas, the legend. Or would you take Joe Dumars?
Wow.
We got Joe Dumars or Isaiah Thomas.
It's going to be a little bit controversial here. Okay. I'm going to take Joe Dumars. I'm going to take Joe Dumars only because Isaiah is one salty-ass motherfucker, man.
Whoa, yes, but it's...
Literally every single interview I see this guy in, he's still crying about Jordan. Still and crying about how he needs an apology. You know, the dream team, this, that, man. Fuck off. Like, years later, man, this man could hold a grudge. So I'm still I'm taking Joe Dumars. I don't want that type of negativity on my team, man.
Now you're going to take number four, Joe D. Okay, so it's 1-0 for Joe Dumars. Max P, I know this is a tough one. Isaiah Thomas or Joe Dumars? Who do you got with your draft pick? If you got to take one.
Oh, man.
I know.
You know what? You know what? I'm going with the cat from West Side Chicago, I believe. Isaiah Thomas.
You going with us?
As a draft pick, Isaiah Thomas was. A lot of people don't know he was a scorer. His first few years in the league before he became more of a distribute the ball kind of guy. Like, he was a bucket getter.
Oh, for sure.
And he got all kind of attitude and rubs people all kind of the wrong way, including me, you know, and it's like, so I think that's what's needed in the NBA today, the troublemaker, the guy who doesn't care what people think, especially with social media. Cats are afraid to be in a dunk competition and stuff. So I think we need cats like Isaiah Thomas. I would draft him because of the times we're in.
Yeah, I like that. I like both your takes on that. For me, you know, Joe Dumars was a man. Joe Dumars was one hell of a basketball player, man. He was definitely one of a kind, man. He was steady. He was strong. He gave Michael a go on defense. You know what I mean? He hit that jumper when he needed it. He was sandpaper. Isaiah Thomas, definitely being a Jordan guy, you know, you just grow up a kid, you're a Jordan guy, you just automatically didn't like him. But the thing is that when I watched Hoop Dreams, my favorite basketball movie of all time, when Arthur Agee was at that basketball camp and he got to meet Isaiah Thomas, and just the way Isaiah Thomas treated him, and I saw just the way he interacted with these kids and with him especially, he brought him out on the court, he played one-on-one with him, and there was just a really good vibe right there, and I could just see he was a really good human being just by one scene. It was literally 1 minute, and that's just my opinion. And then what he did with Michael, I have to jump on what you just said, is that the league needs that. What's wrong with that? Who else is, you know, Mike was a god. Well, all right, well, every god needs somebody to go to war against. So
say hi to the bad guy.
There we go. Yeah. So
somebody needs someone to embrace that, you know? I'm going to be the bad guy? Okay.
Okay.
I'll you be need people guy, like then. Me.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the scene in Last Dance when wasn't there a scene where Michael looked down at the iPad and saw a comment that Isaiah Thomas
made? Gary Payton. When I was on Jordan in the finals, I shut him down. It's just they didn't put me on him soon enough in the series.
Oh, see, I thought that was Isaiah. Okay, never mind. Yeah, that's Gary Payton. But anyways, I'm gonna go with Tuss. I'm gonna go with Isaiah Thomas on this one as well. So that's a clean. No, you said who'd you say? Hey, Rod.
Joe Dumars.
Yeah.
Joe Dumars.
Okay.
I'll stick it with it, man.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe Dumars is a gangster, like man.
Yeah, he was. Still is. All right. Cool. So next one, we got a fight, and this man, it was not hard. You go into Detroit Pistons all-time roster, man, they just keep getting bullies, and they just have bullies. And it was like, this was just perfect. Oh, I could just do the whole this and that on fights, but this is a big one, boys. This is Tyson versus Tyson right here. All right, in this corner, I guarantee you, you know exactly who I picked. I got Ben Wallace, just a monster. Ben Wallace wasn't scared of anybody, anything, and just grabbed 50 rebounds while he was doing it, and then put a shot. He looked like the ultimate warrior. You know what I mean? Like he was just an animal.
He did at one point.
So we got Ben Wallace versus Bill Laimbeer. Bill Laimbeer, a classic tough guy from back in the day, who was in those days of the Danny Ainge, like, and you know what I mean? Like, he just, and he even had his own video game. Come on, Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball on Super Nintendo. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah.
I do not remember that.
Man, Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. Yeah, Super Nintendo. So who do you got? Ben Wallace or Bill Laimbeer? A-Rod, who do you got?
I'm going to go Ben Wallace, man, because, you know, we saw Laimbeer, fight inside the confines of the court.
Yes.
Ben Wallace, we saw the malice at the palace.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. And I do not know what got into that crowd. you just cannot step on that court, man, with Ben Wallace, man.
No. Yeah, and people were scared of him. You know what I mean? Like, Yeah. All right. So you got Ben Wallace. Max P, who do you got? Bill Laimbeer or Ben Wallace?
This is very, very tough. I started watching basketball at 89. Oh. Detroit Pistons. I watched the Detroit Pistons beat the Chicago Bulls 2 years in a row.
Yep.
In the playoffs and win the championship. They were running basketball when I started watching. And Bill Laimbeer was the king of getting under your skin. The king of it.
Yeah.
He was a wizard at messing with your head. I feel like he would get homeboy Ben Wallace so upset that he'd get him off his game and he'd do some tricky shit, you know, and hit him with the knife in the side, get him with the knife in the side while he's so angry.
Yeah.
You know, but I heard Steven Jackson say that Ron Artest was shook as hell of Ben.
That's when the malice
and the powers. And I've never heard anybody say that Ron Artest was scared of anyone except for Ben Wallace.
I even heard the devil's scared of Ben Wallace.
When Steven Jackson is saying Ron Artest was scared of Ben Wallace, and he doesn't have any fear of throwing Ron Artest under the bus, it's just a known thing. That dude was scary. So I gotta go with Ben.
You going with Ben too, huh? Ah, mm-hmm. Oh, man, I didn't realize until I was looking up the pictures with Bill Laimbeer. Like, I forgot about this game. I do remember seeing that game, but come on, he has his own Super Nintendo game. Like, come on,
that's
like
crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, look at him, what he's doing to Larry Bird. He's sticking elbows up chins. He's just, and he's not even in great shape, but you know, he's like, he's one of those guys that Alex Caruso kind of reminds me of this. Like, he would work down at the docks and he'd be collector. He's a collector. You know what I mean? He looks like a collector. Like, he's going to collect money for yes, the local yes. gangster. You know what I mean?
That's what he does. That's yeah. definitely what he does. He can't yeah. do anything, but if you touch him, it's a problem. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, he'll break, he takes fingers off. And sends yes. them back to you. You know what I mean? Yes. But then Ben Wallace, I mean, if you tried to cut Ben Wallace's finger off, I bet you it wouldn't come off because it's steel. He's literally yeah. made of iron. And I just remember, like, I heard they had to make jerseys bigger for him. Like, they had to go another size because his chest was so big that his wow. jersey wouldn't fit. So they had to make these Ben Wallace size jerseys. And looking then he like, looked like
looking like Luca Brasi from Godfather.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm gonna have to go with Bill Laimbeer on
Bill
this
Laimbeer.
One because Ooh. Bill's gonna show up with the mask on, and Ben Wallace is just gonna be like, oh really? And he's gonna have flashbacks of Richard Jefferson, or not Richard Jefferson, Rick Hamilton, and he's just gonna think, oh, okay, the mask is gonna distract him, and then boom, Laimbeer is gonna catch him and take a finger off. It's game over.
He's a tricky cat, man.
Yeah.
You know, on a side note here, just about yeah. Ben Wallace, one of the interesting facts of the day. And this goes in line with what I've always been saying about the Raptors, how we give up career highs to everybody. Yeah. He got his career high in rebounds against the Raptors.
No
way.
Yeah, and do you what know how it? Many rebounds?
Okay, let's take a guess so you can get it.
Against the Raptors?
Yeah. Max, you wow. guess. What's his career high rebounds? You guess.
I think maybe 30.
I was going to say 31.
Yeah, so 20, 28.
28.
You would think 30s, yeah. Rebounds. 28. Still ridiculous.
That's yeah, crazy. Because he used to get so many rebounds. He was a monster.
But now, like, okay, he got 28. Jalen Duren just got 20.
24, 25.
24, 25. That's his career high now. Right?
Well, there we go, yeah.
Then he got fucking yeah. Wemby there, like, 2 weeks ago with the 10
it
blocks.
It happens all the time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why do we do this, man? Why?
You always bring it up, too. It's so true.
It's so annoying, man.
It like, is.
I mean, the Raptors are so many footnotes in history, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like we're on the Kobe statue just because we just get
Calderon's name is spelled wrong.
We're victims so much that we're on a statue.
That's true.
But we're on the statue because of we're the victim. You see what I'm trying to say? Like, it's crazy.
Did Delano Banton get a career high off us?
Probably. Like,
he probably
so
did. He played really well against us. Like, our victimhood is so heavy. We have a statue.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. That's sad, though, isn't it? All right. So, we're going to stick in Motown, like I said, and we're going to do a party. Who got more ass? Who got more girls at the top of their game? Yes. Who was the bigger Motown player? Was it Marvin Gaye?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Marvin Gaye. Oh, boy.
Look at the roles.
This guy, man.
Before Kanye, there was Marvin Gaye, y'all, for y'all that don't know.
Yeah.
This was the weirdo genius.
Yeah, he was an absolute genius, man.
Genius.
He could impregnate somebody with just one note. Just one note.
I've seen him in the world. Crazy. I seen him in a recording session where he did 9 vocal tracks.
Yes.
Singing in different keys.
I saw that.
And layering it all up. When he was in some foreign country, right? Remember?
Genius.
Yeah, he was a genius, bro. The guy's crazy.
Crazy, crazy.
So we got Marvin Gaye versus, it was tough, but former Detroit Piston, Dennis Rodman.
Oh,
Dennis Rodman had his days, man. That's Carmen Electra right there. That's Madonna right there.
Uh-huh.
That's just right here. I don't know who that is right there, but just a whole lot of right there.
He Jordan had kicked in the hotel door. Carmen Electra was hiding behind the couch.
So Dennis Rodman or Marvin Gaye, who got more ass and titty?
I think they both got their pros of how they did it. Yeah. I'll have to go with Marvin Gaye because Marvin Gaye at his peak was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman is just the variety of women this guy could
pull. Yeah.
Because he is just so wild, man. Women would just be like, what is it about this dude?
They loved him.
You know?
His hit list is amazing.
Amazing.
So you're going with Marvin Gaye. Okay.
I'll go with Marvin Gaye, man.
Max P, who you got? Marvin Gaye or Dennis Rodman, number 91?
I got to go with Marvin Gaye. Yeah. I mean, he was almost like, almost Beatles level with the ladies at one point.
Yeah.
You know, like Beatles, Elvis, Mike Jack. There's only certain cats that got to that level with the ladies, you know?
He is at that level. He was.
Yeah, he's one of those few cats that was at that supreme level where, so yeah, any lady I want, one phone call, one, you know, one flowers in the gift card, and it's all.
It. He sent a letter, like he says. Oh man, so you're going Marvin Gaye?
Yeah,
I remember seeing a clip of I don't even remember what documentary it was from, but it was interviewing Magic Johnson when he was a rookie, when he just got drafted by the Lakers, and he was hitting everybody, everything, but before AIDS hit, right? Yeah. And he was DJing, he was playing some music, and they were interviewing him, and he was playing "Distant Lover." And the interviewer was like, oh, you like that song? Do you have any distant lovers, Magic? And he's like, I got a few. I was like, man, because that's my favorite Marvin Gaye song too, Distant Lover.
That's a great song.
My tone, man. And so it just that song alone probably had his hit list up to like,
man, and all his shit sounded better when he did it live. Like, the live version of all his songs are way better than the recorded version. The ladies, he had the ladies melted. Like, forget about it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, let's throw it around the table. What's your favorite Marvin Gaye song, man? Hit me. What's your favorite Marvin Gaye song?
Trouble Man.
It's a toss-up for me between What's Going On and Sexual Healing.
Okay. Sexual Healing got him in a lot of trouble, man.
it's a toss-up, man.
You remember he had to do that album just to pay off his divorce and the tax man?
Yeah.
Whatever that album was called. Here, My Dear.
This is for, Here, My Dear.
Here, My Dear.
She was just pimping, man.
So much pimping. Too much pimping. Here, My Dear. Here, yeah, bitch, you. Man, for like this song. Man, come on, man. I'm pretty sure I got my daughter from this right here.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Forget about it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Anyways, okay, so Marvin wins, no problem. But hey, respect to Dennis Rodman. I remember seeing Madonna on David Letterman when she was dating Dennis Rodman. And Letterman was like, so what you been up to? How you been? And she goes, it might be a little different tonight because I've been smoking that Indo. And he's like, what's Indo? And she's like, Indo. That's when she was messing with Rodman. And I was like, man, she's saying Indo on Letterman, man. All right. So next one, so we all got Marvin Gaye. That was easy. So quick shout outs here. I want to give a shout out. I said it earlier, but Richard Hamilton, man, he was an integral piece to their championship team. Mm-hmm. Richard Hamilton, man. He was a
Connecticut guy too.
Yeah. When that mask came on, he was just, that's the, his legend began right there.
The Steph Curry marathon running around the court. Yeah. Rip Hamilton is one of the OGs of that right there.
Yeah, man. He could come around a screen, no problem, that guy, man. Mm-hmm. Run right through you. Mm-hmm. Rasheed Wallace, I want to just, again, give, man, he's just one of those guys, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a triple OG, you know?
Yeah.
A four-star general.
Absolute stud.
Yeah, the type of guy you want on your team and the type of guy that you want to have on your back if something goes down outside of the court, too.
And he would, if he played today, he would probably be maybe the most famous guy in the league. Like, easy. Rasheed Wallace's personality and the TikTok era.
Oh,
whoa.
My God.
Game ball on. Don't lie and all that. The Air Force ones and all lie. That.
I still remember that exact game. Ball don't lie. Oh, man. And Darko Milicic. I want to say that poor guy, when he came in, man, he had so much. What was it? A number two pick, right?
Number two.
Yeah.
Over Carmelo.
It's all about where you land. Your career is very dependent on what team you go to, what situation you're in, man.
And was that Joe Dumars who made that pick? I think it was.
Possibly,
yeah. Yeah, but it was the coach that screwed him, though.
I can't remember.
Like, I don't care who you pick, he's not playing.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's true. That was that Pistons team. And last but not least, from Detroit, Michigan, we got Stevie Wonder.
Hey.
And, yeah, and if anybody go on YouTube and type in Stevie Wonder Talk Box and watch Stevie Wonder just absolutely destroy the talk box. And the talk box for all you youngins is what Roger Troutman did, Zapp did. And for youngins who don't know that, it's kind of like what, just look it up. Talk box, Stevie Wonder. Oh, it'll change your life. That's incredible.
But
Stevie
Wonder, I've never seen that.
Yeah, he did it live. He did it live on some show back in like the 70s or whatever. And he did the talk box and he was out of his mind, but he's also doing the talk. I'm like, whoa, my God. Incredible. Incredible. Anyways, for your lubrication needs, go to Popeye Supplements. This was another edition of This or
That.
All right, let's go quickly around the NBA and finish this up. One quick note, it came, we all talked about it yesterday, I believe so, in the group chat, but Shaq said nobody's scared of LeBron. People were scared of Michael. People have told me they're scared of Michael. People have told me they were scared of me, but nobody has ever said they are scared of LeBron. Hit me. What do you think of that comment by Shaq?
I mean, listen, the only Shaq comment I've heard as of late was that he would destroy Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, I heard
and
that
he
one.
He was saying that, you know, he doesn't consider Rudy Gobert a great defensive player.
Oh, I don't agree with him on that.
So that was kind of an interesting one. But
come on, Shaq.
Come oh, wait, on, wait, wait, wait. No. Hold on. Let me think back on this. I don't want to put that out there if it's wrong.
Yeah, I can't.
I think actually I was confusing that with Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague.
I love Jeff Teague, man. Jeff Teague is probably one of the funniest guys on a podcast.
Yeah, Jeff is Teague it? Got all kind of yes. He got all kind of yes. stories. He got all kind of stories.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he's not afraid. If you ever watch Jeff Teague,
oh Lord, man, I gotta this write guy that will down. Put you in stitches, man.
Yeah. He's not afraid of hurting feelings. Yeah, he's a good interview.
But I know that Shaq said he would love to get paid the same as Rudy Gobert because he could definitely average 12 and 8. That made me laugh.
So he said,
yeah.
Well, what do you think of him saying that nobody's scared of LeBron?
I mean, has anybody ever come out and said LeBron put the fear in them?
No,
never.
No,
I never heard that.
No,
I mean, it's not surprising.
I don't think I've heard that. I don't think I've heard that. No, sir.
Let them know.
Shout out to the TikTokers with the we're done with the 90s. Oh, thanks for the love, the reverse kind of love. Like, I did not know the 90s was still so relevant that they have to start. You didn't know about the we're done with the 90s trend that was on TikTok?
No, I'm not on TikTok.
And they're just showing clips of basketball players from the 90s and just, you know, cherry picking the bad clips and making it look like the 90s was just this horrible era of ball. Yeah. And then they're trying to make it look like Jordan, they had no left hand and stuff that. And they're taking clips of interviews and they're cutting it off out of context and stuff. And it's disrespectful, but it's also a sign of, like, the 90s has still so much impact that they've got to try and start this viral thing to try and push down the influence of the 90s. So I was like, okay, I didn't know the 90s still had that kind of power you gotta go viral and try and knock us down. I mean, I appreciate the love. So shout out to all the folks with the I'm done with the 90s stuff. Keep us going.
Yeah, it's true. Music and
I'm glad
sports.
They do that, talking about Jordan's left hand. Meanwhile, they're happy to go watch Jaylen Brown play.
Yeah.
And
oh,
put
my
him in
goodness.
A dunk contest.
Oh my, I mean, even LeBron still looks at the ball when he dribbles. I mean, come on now, like
he's a Hall of Famer. Really look at it now because his eyes are going because he's too old.
He's a Hall of Famer, but a lot of cats out here got no handles.
That's true. Absolutely. Well, look at anyways, yeah, I don't want to go into that. But okay, so for me, Shaq, yeah, nobody's scared of LeBron. No, absolutely nobody's scared. Maybe LeBron, they're scared of his what they can do to him politically outside of basketball. Maybe they can cut him down or something like that. But on the basketball court, no, man.
That's
like,
a good point, Paul. Well said.
Yeah, that's it. So the statue, the Kobe statue, we just talked about it. But for those that don't know, Kobe had a statue put up. And it shows the roster of the Toronto Raptors on it when he dropped 81 on us.
We made it.
Well, yeah, Jose made it on that list, but Jose's name is spelled wrong.
Yeah, and
disrespect.
There was another cat whose name was spelled wrong too. Yeah, there was two of them. The cat with no hair. He played it for
Villanueva.
Connecticut. Yeah, Villanueva. I think they spelled his name wrong too, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe they spelled the word decision wrong.
Yes, they spelled decision wrong. It was with two C's.
Who did they put in charge of this spell check?
Yeah, so they spelled Jose Calderon's name wrong, and then they spelled the word decision wrong.
Oh, man.
That was it. That was it.
That kind of encapsulates, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. Nope. Not going to say it. Not going to cut myself off there because I know we got a lot of listeners down in America. So I'm going to leave it at that. Anyways, yeah, that was kind of disrespectful. But, just hit spell check. Simple as that on your Word document for your statue.
I mean, you don't even know if the cats who made that statue had American citizenship. It's crazy out here nowadays, baby.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for that. Unless you guys have any notes from around the NBA that have stuck out to you. Let me know. Is there anything?
Nah.
All right.
We're getting close to the playoffs. Separate the men from the boys.
Yeah. I heard, what was it last night, that Detroit's trying to make the play-in?
What?
Stop this, man.
Huh? What?
I don't know. I don't know if it was a joke or where I heard that, but I think it's just a joke. Detroit's trying to make the play. Boys, the next up for the Raptors is a home and home, I believe, against Orlando. Off the top of my head, I believe the Magic are in Disneyland is here tomorrow night, and then I believe Sunday they go to Orlando to play. So, what do you want to see coming out of these two games? And hit me.
What do I want to see out of the Orlando game? I'd like to see Jalen Suggs not go off against us again.
Yeah, keep your tongue in your mouth, man.
Yeah. other than that, I mean, don't really care to watch Orlando. I know they're fourth in the East, but man, they are a horrible watch. That is a really bad team to watch if you want to watch basketball.
It's true. I watched them.
If you pick a team to show to a first timer and be like, oh, this is the sport I enjoy, do not pick the Orlando Magic. That is not a good team to watch, man.
Great advice.
Yeah. What's the guy they have on there, Jonathan Isaac? He just cannot go past 10 minutes.
No. You know that joke online, that running joke where it's like, oh, I had a couple tickets to the Raptors game or whatever against the Magic, right? Mm. Somebody broke into my car. And they left two more. that's basically how I feel about that team, man.
That's a good joke.
That's good. What about you, Max? What do you want to see or not?
Another windmill, baby. I want to see another windmill. Yeah. Let's get some highlights.
James?
I have no idea what his
name is. It's got a great first name.
Tech kid. I think it's an apostrophe.
It's an apostrophe name. It's a great name. Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, let's embarrass these boys and have a moment, have a TikTok moment.
Yeah.
Before it's gone.
I'm a fan of Franz Wagner. I like his game.
Yeah. Michigan. Shout out to Michigan.
Yeah, shout out to Michigan, another Michigan boy. And I'm a fan also of Moritz Wagner, his brother. I just think he's one of those fake tough guys too, that are in the league that just needs to be slapped. Like the guy, that's the type of guy that needs to be slapped. Imagine like in the Joe Dumars or Ben Wallace. You imagine Moritz Wagner pulling that fake shit on Ben Wallace. Whoa. Imagine that. Ben Wallace be grabbing the thing like Ultimate Warrior.
Tyson in his prime, 22nd fight.
Yeah, game over. Game over. Speaking of game over, boys, that was a fun one. We will talk after this home and home. And until then, I want everybody to be safe. And again, yes, we had jokes. We had fun on this. But again, it is a sad day in Raptor land with RJ Barrett losing his younger brother. And again, not to end this on a sad note, but it is huge and it's awful news. And for anybody that's maybe lost, anybody that's lost a family member or a friend in their life, it's not good. So we send our best. I know I do. Hey, Rod, Max P. Mm-hmm. Whole Sports Ethos family, we send our best and condolences to the Barrett family. And on that note, everybody, enjoy your night and be safe. This was another episode of the Sports Ethos Toronto Raptor Podcast. And as you know, I'm El Hoopo. There's two O's, a P, and another O. And A-Rod, A-R-O-D, and Max Profit, you better pay me. We will be talking soon after the Orlando Magic game. But until then, hit subscribe, hit like, and listen to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Give it a chill.